Blog Talk Radio.
You in your car, you at the house, on your job, be encouraged, boo. Come on! A long way. That's why we love you. Come on.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, and welcome UCA members and visitors. Welcome to this edition of UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. UCA stands for United Christian Ambassadors. If you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, then you are an ambassador for Christ. Amen? Amen. I am your host, Pastor T. Meyer McCain of Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, which is located at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. And our services starts at 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. So come and visit us, 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. Services start 1:30 in the afternoon. Okay, call, text, or inbox all your friends and family members and tell them to call in for this edition to you of UCA Radio. The number to dial in is 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537. Or you can look for my post on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram and just click on the link where you see the post of this particular show. And listen from your computer. You know, you can click on the link today and all this week on Facebook. Just click on the link or the post, wherever you see this this post for this show, and just click on it. And then when you click on it, you will be able to listen to the entire program. Don't forget that we have a book that's out. It's called Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery. Tell people about this book because it's a blessing if you read it. Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery by Pastor T. Meyer McCain. It's available right now on Amazon. So go ahead and order it and be blessed. You will be blessed. Visit our webpage also, churchofjesuschristministry.com. So check that out, and when you get on there, you can actually go to books while you're on there, and it'll take you right to Amazon where you can order Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery by Pastor T. Meyer McCain, and you can continue to stroll on the webpage and go to media where you will see The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tusila on hsbn.tv. So you can always check that out, or you can go directly to hsbn.tv and just put in The Message of Life, okay? And T. Meyer and Tusila McCain. And you can also watch The Message of Life on YouTube and many other apps anytime this week. So join us. You will be blessed. And by the way, tomorrow, Tuesday, we will be on Facebook Live. So don't forget to tune in. That'll be around 2 p.m., between 2 and 2:30, around that time. So just go ahead and keep your eyes and ears open and go ahead and tune in, all right? All righty. So don't go away. We'll be right back after this. Stay right there.
I want to walk with you, Jesus, feel your presence and know you're near. I want to see you, Jesus, move in power and cast out fear. I need to hear you now, I need to know it's you. Promises, I know your word is true. You're bigger than what I see. It's you in exchange for me. It's even the impossible can be reality. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I believe. I want to say what you're saying, speaking life to what is dead. And I want to cling to you, Jesus, who hanging on your every breath. I need to hear you now, I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises, I know your words are true. You're bigger than what I see, and it's you in exchange for me. It's even the impossible is your reality. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I believe. So let your kingdom come, and let your will be You're bigger than what I see. It's you in exchange for me. Is even the impossible is your reality. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises. I know your words are true. You're bigger than what I see. It's you in exchange for me. It's even the impossible is your reality. God, even the impossible is your reality. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I believe. Help my unbelief, God. Jesus, I believe.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are listening to UCA Radio, where you will hear music and a message. Now, let's get right into our message today. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I pray and I ask that you open the hearts and minds of everyone listening to this broadcast today. Help them, Lord Jesus. Help them to understand what you're telling them, your word. Let your word be in them, Lord, so that they will know your plan of the ages in this hour, what your true will is for them and for all of us, for your people in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. The name of this message today is God's Will. God's Will. God's will has never changed since the beginning, actually since before the foundation of the world. God has always wanted heaven and earth to be one. He has always wanted man to be in his likeness and image and to have dominion over the earth, just as it was written in Genesis. It hasn't changed. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." That is still God's will today. God wanted man to be a triune being, a triune being. So he formed man to be in his image and likeness. And just as God made a man, God made man a body, soul, and spirit, as it is written in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. He formed his body and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He made him a spirit, and man became a living soul. He made him a soul. God had already made himself a triune God. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God wanted man to look like him. So in the imaginary mind of God, he made an image of himself, and that image was and is the glorified Jesus Christ. That was the image he made Adam and Eve after, and it is God's will that we are to be after that same image. Adam and Eve fell from that godly image by disobedience to God's direct command, and that made all mankind from that image, that made all mankind fall from that image. And now we are all fallen natured creatures. We fell from that, from the godly image that God wanted us to be. Adam also lost that heavenly oneness he had with God the Father in the beginning. He lost it. And because of the fall and disobedience of Adam, we, his offspring, we never experienced the kind of oneness with God that Adam actually had, or he actually experienced in the beginning. We never experienced that. we didn't get a chance because of Adam's disobedience. That's why it's God's will that mankind be restored to God's full likeness and image. And the only one who can truly redeem and restore us to his image is God himself. God is our salvation, meaning Elohim is our Yeshua, our Savior. It was God's will that Yeshua Jesus, God in the flesh, should take the punishment of Adam's sin and the results of it, which is death. He was to be beaten, suffer greatly by means of crucifixion and die. And then he had to be resurrected from the dead so that all mankind from the beginning of Adam to this very day can be changed, whether by resurrection from the dead or while we are yet alive, walking and breathing, because our fallen nature bodies cannot inherit God's kingdom, as it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 through 53. Paul says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." He's talking about fallen flesh and blood cannot inherit God's kingdom. "Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." That means we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. We shall not all die, but we will be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. It is important that we are to be made new, refreshed, regenerated, renewed, changed, resurrected, celestial beings. In other words, we must be literally, totally, and completely born again. Jesus himself made it perfectly clear that we must be born again. John 3:5. "Except a man is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And Peter confirms this by saying that we must be born of the incorruptible seed of God in 1 Peter 1:23, which says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." We cannot enter into his kingdom unless we are changed with every part of our soul, mind, and spirit being fully, and I'm talking fully, born again. Really born again. All of this is God's will. That's his will. We are to be literally changed, mentally, physically, and spiritually changed. Even our very souls restored and renewed, changed into the image of his Son, as it is written in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, "For whom he did foreknow," that's us, "he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he," Jesus, "might be the firstborn among many brethren." And we, both male and female, shall be called sons of God. That image that we are going to be conformed to is the very image of the glorified Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can look like him and see ourselves as beholding or as looking in a glass at the glory of the Lord. As it is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." It's by his Spirit. It is God's will that we look like Jesus when he returns. God wants to find his likeness and image on the earth once again. As John states in chapter and verse in 1 John chapter 3 verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." It is also God's will for us to first fulfill these two most important commandments. Love the Lord and love our neighbors. Mark 12, chapter verses 29 through 31. "And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." So the next time you hear someone say, "I don't know what God wants me to do," well, you simply tell them, yes, you do. He wants us to love him and love our neighbors. Do you know what it means to really love the Lord? It means to have a relationship with the Lord. It means to desire him, to want to be with him. It means to willingly serve him, obey him, and having a desire to be one with him and in him. Loving God means to give all that you are to him, to give him every part of your very being. To love God is to love the Lord Jesus Christ. If you honor the Son, you honor the Father. Do you know what it means to love your neighbor? Your neighbor is your husband, your wife, your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, friends, acquaintances, and other members of your distant family, church members, even strangers, and even your enemies. They are your neighbors, and we are to love all of those people as you love yourself. You wouldn't harm yourself, steal or cheat yourself. And you wouldn't wish bad things on yourself. Why? Because you love yourself. All of these things is what we must do first, and then other things will follow as the Lord leads you. We are to also trust God, believe his word, and willingly receive the blessings that God gives us. He gave us his only begotten Son. Therefore, we must believe in him, as it is written in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We are to continually believe in the Son of God. Do you know what it means to believe? You know, I mean, truly believe. It means to have confidence in the truth. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we are to believe in the existence and reliability of Jesus Christ. Although we may think that we don't have absolute physical proof that he exists, but we do have his spirit. We have spiritual proof, his Holy Spirit, which is in us. And then there are many who have actually seen the Lord, physically seen him. So they have proof. And one day we will physically see him. But right now we walk by faith, not by sight. But there are still many who have physically seen the Lord, even in this hour. And many of us have the Holy Spirit in us. So we know that he's real and that he's true because he put it in us. We are a witness within ourselves of the true existence of God. But for those who may not have actually seen the Lord, yet we still believe. and know he is real and he is alive because of his spirit being in us. And we know that we are right in believing in him. We are doing what God wants, his desire, his will, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is only in believing in Jesus Christ can we act purposefully. We can fulfill our purpose. To believe in the Lord is to admit, accept, conclude that he is true and his word is alive. To believe in the Lord means to trust in him. True belief in Jesus focuses on having confidence, reliance, and faith in him. When Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 11 and 12, he said, "Believe in me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me," that means to continually believe in him, "the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." When God says that if we believe in the Son of God that we will not perish, then we must believe his word and receive whatever blessings that God gives to us. But understand this, that there's usually something that we must do. We have to do our part. For example, it is God's will to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, right? And he will do according to his will and his word in Joel chapter 2, verse 28. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions." This is a great blessing, but it comes after certain conditions. After we repent, call a solemn assembly, then he will pour out his spirit. The atmospheric pressure must be just right for God's outpouring. "Then shall the knowledge of his glory cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, as it is written in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." How, you may ask? Because we will spread his glory all over the world. Our mission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. And we are to demonstrate the kingdom of God. We are to be witnesses of the true existence of God's kingdom. Here's another thing that I speak on quite often. It is God's desire for Jews and Gentiles to become one in Christ. It's God's will for this. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 19. "Wherefore," this is Paul speaking, he says, "Wherefore remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision." So that could be a little confusing, but so what he's actually saying is we were called uncircumcised people, Gentiles, uncircumcised people, by those who were circumcised, the Jews. They were circumcised in the flesh made by hands. That at that time, you were without Christ. Gentiles, you were without Christ. You didn't know the Lord. "Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel." We were separated from Israel. "And strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." That's the Gentiles, without the one true living God in the world. "But now," he says, "but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off," the Gentiles, we were far away from God because we didn't know him, "now because of Jesus, We are made near, close. The scripture says are made nigh, meaning near or close, by the blood of Jesus Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, Jew and Gentile, made them both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There is no more separation between Israel and Gentiles, Jews and Christians, because Jesus has made them one. If we come together and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we all become one. Jesus, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, that is to say of two people or two groups of people, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both Jew and Gentile unto God in one body or one group of people. We will not be a separate group of people. We will be one people by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off. We were once Gentiles, far away from God. Gentiles are other nations. We were once other nations, far from God. So he came preaching peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh, Israel, who's supposed to know the Lord, who's close to the Lord. He came and preached to both groups of people, for through him, that is to say through Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, unto the Father. So through Jesus Christ, both Jews and Gentiles can go to God the Father through Jesus, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Gentiles are no more strangers. We're no more strangers. We have access to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners. We're no more strangers or foreigners if they in Christ. If we are all in Christ, we're not strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints. We are fellow citizens along with all Israel and of the household of God. That means that Jews and all Israel will be joined with all other nations in Jesus Christ. All the other nations called Gentiles, and they will become one people in Christ Jesus, that we can all be called Christians or Christ-like people. I'm talking about Jews and Gentiles. I'm talking about Israel and Gentiles, Jews and Christians. All of us can become one. We will, and then we'll all be called Christians or Christ-like people. We'll all be called saints of the Most High God. We will all be called Jews and disciples, believers, followers, and lovers of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can all be called Israel, the people of God. Now, speaking of physical Israel, it's God's will to give to Abraham, to Abraham's physical seed, Israel, all of the land that's surrounding Israel today, like Palestine, Syria, Iraq, Iran, and so on. Every part of the land that Abraham was promised by God will be given to Abraham's physical seed, Israel. And not only will the physical seed of Abraham dwell in the land, but his spiritual seed as well. Us Christians, we will also one day inhabit the land. All of us will dwell together as one people in that land and all over the world, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwell in it. We will all belong to God through Jesus Christ. God multiplied Abraham's physical seed as the sand of the sea. And through Jesus Christ, God will multiply his spiritual seed as the stars of heaven. We shall all dwell upon the earth in unity, even as one, so that Abraham, through Jesus Christ, can truly be a father of many nations. It is God's will that we are all one in him, according to the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 17, verses 20 through 25. Jesus said, I am not asking on behalf of them alone, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfectly united, so that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them just as you have loved me. Did you know that the Lord loves us? He loves us just as much as he loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I want those you gave me, that you have given me, to be with me where I am, that they may see the glory you gave me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, although the world has not known you, I know you, and they know that you sent me, and I have made your name known to them and will continue to make it known so that the love you have for me may be in them and I in them. That's a powerful prayer. Oneness is God's will. He wants oneness. He wants to be one with his people. It's God's will to dwell with his people as well as in them. He wants to dwell with them and in them, as it is written in Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. All of this is God's will. It is God's will to have a new heaven and a new earth, as it is written in Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. God's will is to make all things new, as it is written in Revelation 21, verse 5. And he said, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. The more you set your heart to truly know the Lord, the more you will know his will for you. His will for you, his will for his people. You will know his will for you. You will know his will for his people and for the world. So now, when you pray or ask anything in Jesus' name, you will know what you are asking. You'll know that you're asking according to God's will because you know him and who he truly is. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is Jesus himself saying this. When we ask in Jesus' name, that means that we are asking according to God's will. Do you know what a name actually stands for? A name is you. A name is who you are, and sometimes what you are. Your name identifies where you came from or who you belong to, your character, your personality, your image and likeness. Your name stands for your beliefs, your strength, your authority, and much more. Well, the name of Jesus identifies who he truly is, his character, and his personality, his image and likeness, and what he stands for, all that he stands for, all that God stands for. His name is God's authority, God's will and desires, and his name identifies and confirms who he came from. He came from God the Father. His name is his holiness. His name is power and might. His titles as king, high priest, our great high priest, great warrior and judge, counselor, savior, lord, master, the almighty God, the creator, the self-existing one, the everlasting father. His name stands for righteousness, love, and life. His name is God's will. His name is God's will and God's desires. His name is that and much more. So when we pray in Jesus' holy name, we are praying in the name of God. And when we ask in Jesus' name, we should ask having no doubt, not an inch of doubt. This is what James said in James chapter 1, verse 6. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. When you have the revelation of Jesus Christ, then you know what it means to pray or ask in Jesus' holy name. And you know how to pray and ask according to his will, because you will know that it is for the glory of God, the living God. Amen? Amen. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Praise the Lord. All right, all right. You are listening to UCA Radio. You will hear music and a message. Now let's get into our scriptures for the week. Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Revelation 21, verse 5, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And the last one, John 14, verses 13 and 14. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Those were the words of Jesus himself. He said he will do it if you ask anything in his name. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad that you guys joined me today. Just a pleasure to bring forth the word of God to you. And I pray that you are receiving this and that you are hearing the messages brought forth and that you are being blessed by these messages. Thank you, Lord. I just thank you so much. And may you have a blessed week. And remember to do something nice for somebody in the name of the Lord. I mean, anything big you can do for them, great, or anything small, just do something nice and good for somebody this week so that God can be glorified. And don't hesitate if the Spirit of the Lord leads you to minister about Jesus Christ to someone, go ahead and do it. He may even move you to lay your hands on somebody to heal them. Go ahead and do it. Don't resist the urging of the Spirit, the gentle movement of the Spirit, so that God can be glorified. More people need to know, truly know about the Lord. So even in your lifestyle, your walk, be a light as much as possible, because people are watching you, even though you may not know it. A lot of people may know that you're a Christian, so they want to see that you're walking as a Christian, even though they may not have received the Lord themselves. But you being consistent and a consistent light and loving people, people in your family, people, friends and distant relatives and strangers, just love people so that God can honor you and love you. Well, he loves you anyway, but so that you can be blessed, highly blessed, and know that you're doing God's will, okay? All right, well, that's it for us today, and I just want to say goodbye, good afternoon, but goodbye at the same time, and we will see you guys next week at the same time. Bye-bye now. See you later.
Second time around, but before you go, there's something I'd like to say. Everything's not what it seems. There's a stronger force behind the scenes. He's in our lives every day. He's right there when we call. In him is where my strength lies. Only he can save my life, and only he. gave me your love. You gave me your son. Now I say amen.